whereas a community of faith, we share with one another our joys and sorrows, our challenges and celebrations. I have some known concerns to share with you and for prayer, and would encourage you to continue to lift them up in your prayers throughout the coming week. We want to offer prayers for Maya Hamilton, who is the newborn granddaughter of Chris and Marianne Hamilton, and to her Aunt Sierra and Uncle Tyler. It sounds weird to call a 1.5-year-old an uncle, but Maya was born, and we give thanks for the gift of that birth to her proud parents, but she does have a blood infection and is receiving treatment in the hospital down in the, I want to say it's Harlingen, but I'm not certain. It's down in the lower Rio Grande Valley. And so we want to pray for God's healing upon Maya and God's grace to be with her parents and the rest of the family as well. We want to continue to lift up Darlene Pettis for prayers for God's grace and healing strength to be with her. We want to offer prayers of comfort and grace and strength to be with the family of Doreen Scott, a friend of Lori Carroll's who passed away unexpectedly this past week. We want to lift up for prayers of continued watchful care and healing for Barbara Hodge. She is a friend of Linda Swan, which is Marion Higginbotham's sister. Barbara fell and injured her hip, had an arthroscopic surgery, and is recovering from that well. And we pray God's continued healing touch be upon her. We've asked for prayers for Dick Nash, who is having some mobility challenges and waiting results of some tests that he had at the end of this past week. A joy that I want to share was one that I had written actually to be a short article in the newsletter, but somehow it fell off the radar when the newsletter was being put together. So I'm just going to sort of skim it and read it. Thanks to the Fellowship Ministry for hosting birthday theme lunch, where we could visit with new friends and eat lunch with people from our same birthday month. We had a wonderful response to our first ministry fair. The ministry team leaders were creative in their displays and highlighting the different areas of ministry and opportunities to serve. Not only that, but also you as a congregation responded really well to the different areas and opportunities for ministry in and through the church. We still have a few areas of need for more servant leaders. There is a table out in the narthex that has some sign-up sheets for some of the areas of ministry that are still looking for volunteers. But we are off to a wonderful start for 2009, and it was a blessed experience to be a part of that. Are there other joys that you would share or prayer needs that you would lift up at this time? Chris. We will pray for God's healing and touch and watchful care over her recovery. Carol. We will pray for God's healing power to be with him and for God's grace and strength to be with the family as well. Are there others? Leslie. So, the mother of a friend of yours and a neighbor, we would pray for God's comfort and strength to be with both families in their time of mourning and grief. For God to watch over them. Are there others? The Spirit of the Lord is with us. O God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who made the sun and moon and stars and placed them in their courses, who made the planets that orbit around the sun, who made all things that live and breathe and have their being on this earth. You created human life from the very dust of the earth and breathed into us your spirit. We are made in your image and likeness. Oh God, help us to seek through study and prayer and worship to better understand what that means and to live it more faithfully in a way that glorifies your image and likeness that is within us, in a way that serves you and proclaims your holy name. Oh God, we have lifted up loved ones in need of your care, in need of your healing touch for bodies, your comfort and strength for mourning and broken hearts, your hope for spirits looking for direction. Oh God, guide us and remind us that you have placed within us the abilities to be your servants, your ministers in the world around us, that each one of us has gifts and a calling, and that if we say yes to you and trust, that you will give us what we need. You will use us in the places and in the opportunities that can spread your love and your holy word. Guide us always in our footsteps, O Lord. We ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our passage from 1 Samuel this morning says, The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. It was a time in Israel's history of spiritual dryness, a time where God seemed to be silent, perhaps ignoring what was going on, or even absent. It was a where is God moment in time. It was a period of political anarchy in Israel's life when, as we read in Judges, every person did what was right in his own eyes. The priest Eli and his sons were not exactly making things better either. Phinehas and Hophni, Eli's sons, abused their priestly power to their own advantage and personal gain. They exploited their positions economically and sexually, taking advantage of young women in the name of the Lord. It was a truly ugly situation, one to which it would seem their father Eli had turned a blind eye. Now, we can understand anarchy, abuse of power, sins of commission and omission, can't we? Just look back on the year that we've come through in this country. We've seen scandals aplenty. We've watched institutions we believe to be foundations of fortitude that have fallen. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, banking crisis, mortgage crisis, corruption in the energy sector and on Wall Street. In so very many ways, 2008 was a mess. Amidst all of this, it could have been easy to feel as though God has been ominously silent. Perhaps we can understand from our reading in 1 Samuel and from our own time that every era, every culture, every people have had this experience at one time or another. A fearful, uncertain wondering, where is God? But let us look back to that same reading and hear these words. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. What does a lamp do but bring light into the darkness? This lamp of God was in the temple, a visible symbol and constant reminder to all who saw it that God was still present. God was still among them. Much like the symbolic meaning behind these two candlesticks that rest on our communion table. We light them every Sunday at the beginning of worship to be a visible reminder to us that through all things, God is present. God is here, shining amidst the darkness. And we see in 1 Samuel that God chooses to break the silence. God chooses to speak to one who is innocent, one who is hopeful, one who is open to hear. Though he may not fully understand the magnitude of what is happening, God speaks to a child of about 12 years of age, to Samuel. God tells Samuel that he is about to do a new thing. God will set out on a course of action to clean up the mess that Eli and sons have made and set things back on the right course. God will bring judgment and accountability, but God will also bring renewal and rejuvenation. Remember, just a few short weeks ago, we proclaimed once again the story of how God spoke not to, but through a child born in Bethlehem to poor and humble parents. God spoke through God's own son. God spoke a message of power that can make nations fall and mountains tremble, and a love that is patient, gracious, self-giving, and always willing to bring about renewal. God's silence in Eli's days and other biblical times has often been interpreted as a sign of God's judgment against the people. But that silence can also be interpreted as a sign of a people's stubborn unwillingness to listen, or of not being ready to listen. Eli was silent. He knew what his two sons were up to in a temple, and he sinned by omission, by doing nothing about it. He neither chastised nor corrected them. Eli chose conflict avoidance, the path of least resistance, and let corruption continue. He had grown old, yes, but that is no sin. His sin was that he was complacent, too comfortable to work for change. Yet even amidst his sinfully inept state, Eli was wise enough and open enough to recognize that it was God who was calling and to help the young Samuel hear what God had to say. Eli even heard the words repeated to him that spoke of judgment against himself and his family, and recognized that God needed to act because he had failed to do so. As a last act of faith, Eli says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Eli got himself out of the way so God could go to work. There's another lectionary reading from the Gospel according to John from today's cycle that I want to share with you. It's from the first chapter and begins with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." In this reading from John, Jesus begins his ministry against the backdrop of yet another culture experiencing anarchy, corruption, and uncertainty. They were a people in great need. They had a hunger for a word from the Lord. Philip meets Jesus, then goes to invite his friend Nathanael to meet this man from Nazareth, the one that Moses and the prophets told us would come. What is Nathanael's response? "Nazareth? Seriously? Can anything good come from that backwater town?" Philip responds very simply, "Come and see." Nathanael admits his skepticism that the hope of the world might come through a little rural town with a population of about 300 people. But with mind open and hope within him, he goes. Now immediately he has an experience of God's unique and powerful presence in this man, Jesus, that he is convinced that Philip was right. He proclaims Jesus as Lord and the Son of God. He is amazed at how this man knew him before they'd even met. Jesus' response was something like, "Yeah, you think that's something. You ain't seen nothing yet." When times are uncertain, and it seems as though a word from the Lord is rare, it seems to me a person must choose between two paths, two responses. One can choose to dwell in fear, to become surrounded by discouragement and despair and abandon hope. This path usually leads to darkness and a life-draining sense of futility. Or one can choose to remain open. We can watch and listen and hope. I want to share with you a clip from the movie The Color Purple. It's a clip I showed almost 3 years ago at one of our special Lenten weekday services. It involves a father and pastor who was filled with anger, disappointment, and judgment for his daughter who had shamed and embarrassed him by becoming a young, pregnant, unwed mother. He cast her out of his home and out of his life. From there, she went her own way, doing what was right in her sight, seeking approval, seeking love, seeking happiness in very worldly places and ways, but never quite finding it. Years, decades have gone by between two people who have closed their hearts off to each other and seemingly even to God. But the lamp of God had not yet gone out.